if most of us were to audit our relationships the way we audit our SEO, right? Yeah. Like we have great H1s, right? Like our header lines are fantastic. Our subtext is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've got alt tags. We're doing all of the right things, but the actual meat, like the actual article is really crappy and there's no backlinks. Like we're not giving anybody credit for where we're getting our ideas. We're not sharing those things around. And yeah. We're not helping people out.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wisdom and the Tangents podcast. For episode 259, I've got a special one for you because we're coming at you with double the wit for this episode. That's right. My guest is none other than Miles Witboyer. And oh man, do Miles and I talk about a lot of different things. This is kind of like a state of the photography industry episode. More than one singular topic, but we do talk a lot about community. We talk a lot about what it means to like be a photographer and serving your clients and serving others and just coming into life with a sense of gratitude and wanting to build up others around us. We talk about money and how you can manage your money and have your money work for you and grow and not just waste away in your bank account, easily spendable. But if you don't know Miles, he is a wedding photographer and the co-host of the Photographic Collective podcast. He's also the co-host of his new Photographic Collective group community, the Photo Co, which we talk about a good bit in this episode, and is now open. So you can go join. I will leave a link in the show notes for that as well. But yeah, it's just a really great, honest conversation. And I really enjoyed it. And I think you will too. Let's get into it. My conversation with Miles Witboyer. I had a podcast producer on the show, a couple of years ago now. Mm-hmm. And when I had them on, that sort of thing happened to me where I had to switch unplug my camera, put it back in or whatever.
Yeah.
And it switched to just my computer microphone. And I didn't notice it because I don't hear myself back through the headphones and they didn't say anything. So once I started editing that podcast, I was like, of course, the one with the worst audio on my part is the one where I had a podcast producer on talking
That's
about
it. That's so funny. Dude, this actually just happened to us last week. We were recording with Lauren Ashley. And
yes,
her mic dropped three times during that recording. And we switched
the kind
three
of mic
different
drop
mics. Oh man, it was like I'm sitting on there with Jared Jared's a sound engineer and he's amazing. And he's just sitting there and he's like writing me in the chat during it. He's like, this is good, keep going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, have you lost your mind? You know, like now it sounds like we're recording in a bathroom. And somehow, man, I don't know. You guys are wizards. This is what I get for being what I'm doing with the microphone right now is the extent of my talent. That is it.
That
after talking, I have nothing left.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's about what I have too.
Good.
I'm just like,
glad we're so untalented together, John.
Yes. Yeah. We don't need to be sound engineers. Like there are so many people that just record on their iPhones and send it out there. And like, as long as I know that a lot of people talk about, like, if the audio quality is bad, they're not going to listen. Mm-hmm. If the subject matter is good and like the vibes are good, I'll listen through some pretty poor audio.
I'll barrel through it.
It may not be one that I want to listen to all the time, but you know, I can do it.
Yeah. Confession time. I'm a pretty avid runner. Like I spend a lot of my life out running, and podcasts and audiobooks are sort of like a constant part of my life. And there are days, this is ridiculous. I don't even know how to actually articulate this, but there are days where I just want to hear people talk.
Yeah.
Like I want that, that like Bobby Bones vibe in my ear where it's like, I'm just listening to people chat. Like,
yeah,
please try. And so there are days where I'm out on a long run and I'm miserable and I want people that sound miserable right alongside me. I don't need perfectly, you know, polished voices. So,
yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Sometimes whenever we only have the polished voices and it's like all that we're getting is the, hey, my business is doing so great. Let me teach you how to do that too.
Yes.
It's like,
I want to make you eight figures by the end of this call.
You know what? Let's go 10. Let's go 10 figures. Yeah. Let's go all
the way. We should go 10. and the best part is I'm going to have ChatGPT do it for you so you can buy an island.
Yes. And then you can just sit back on the beach while your business runs itself.
Man, I love that we're chasing rabbits already, man. I wrote a question a few days ago in a pretty large Facebook group because I was just curious. I was genuinely curious. This wasn't even me. Like, I feel like a lot of time this stuff is all a thirst trap because then you come back in and say like, I have the solution for everything.
But, yeah. Here's my download. It's only $47. Yeah,
exactly. Oh, it's funny that you mentioned that this is what you're looking for. But I was just genuinely curious. I said like, what is it that you wish the educators we're talking about right now? And you know what blew my mind? And obviously there is reason for that because we're about to launch our platform and and all of that. So I'm sure we'll talk about it. But all that came back, not all, but most of what came back was photographers talking about how they wish that there was more, two things. One, better workflow advice.
Yeah.
And which I thought was interesting because there is so much out there, but maybe it's not well done. But two, better financial advice.
Oh, there is not a lot of that.
People are like, stop telling me how to make money and start teaching me how to keep it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, all of a sudden I'm like rethinking everything. I'm like, we're break it. We're going to start the, you know, what was the guy? The Dave Ramsey. We're starting the Dave Ramsey of, we're not really, guys. I'm nowhere near qualified.
I remember hearing like those failed photography stories of just like, I didn't know what I was doing. And there was this lady that was on a show and she was talking about how she started her business in high school. And she was just, you know, photographing other seniors and stuff. And then at 19, she really started getting into weddings and just, she had a viral reel and it just took off. And within 2 years, she's making multiple six figures, flying to other countries, doing all the stuff that many wedding photographers dream of. And we're just like striving to get there.
Life. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was just like fast tracked right there, but had no financial know-how or advice or anything. And she was like, I'm making all this money, but it's not staying. And I don't have any investments. I have no 401k. I have no retirement, anything. And she was, I think it was on some money podcast. I listen to a ton. It's one of those things that I'm also like, that's not something that we see a lot, especially in like photography education of what do you do with your money? How do you budget? Like, how do you even like set your prices and know that you're taken care of? Like, you can read like Profit First and kind of get a pretty good understanding of like, okay, I need to be making profit on this. But there's not a lot of like, I just, man, probably 4 years ago in my mid 30s, learned about high yield savings accounts. And I was like, why has nobody ever taught me this? Like, my money could have been making money instead of like 0.01% in my whatever normal savings account. I'm saving it anyway. Yeah. So it should be making more money.
That's the point. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. I mean, like that's always what I want to know. It was actually Ben Lau replied back and said he was going to, which I love Ben, man, but he replied back and said, I'm going to start posting a screenshot of my CRM at the beginning of every workshop. And I was like, do it.
Yeah.
Because that's what people need to hear. Like, it's so easy in this day and age. And I know, man, we've got so many things we want to chat through, but it's so easy in this day and age to like chat through how to make money. We've been saying this for years. I've told photographers on workshops and stages and podcasts for years, like, your first six figures is just a choice. There's not a skill set to it. It is literally just a choice. It's just waking up and deciding this year I'm going to make six figures. And I think for a lot of photographers, people that are listening, that probably sounds as like, oh, that must be easy. No, it truly is. It's not an easy choice.
Right.
it's not without struggle, but it's really just a choice. And then your second six figures is a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. In order to catch that second 100,000, you have to lose something. And that's where you're giving up time with family or time with, you know, whatever, or you start to delegate things, and maybe it's a healthy thing that you lose. You know, maybe you like pass out, you know, like you offload your editing, or you hire an assistant, or maybe it's an unhealthy thing that you lose and you gain 50 pounds and you break out in like adult acne. But some way or another, in order to get there, yeah, it's a sacrifice. And then from that point on, every $100,000 becomes incrementally smaller. It becomes easier to make it.
Oh yeah.
And at the same time, the sacrifice gets bigger. Man, I just wish people would have those conversations, because then you can find your sweet spot. You can say like, hey, here's what I'm willing to give up. You know, like I'm perfectly willing to work 50 weeks a year if I could make this much money. Well, I'm not, but like some people will. Mm-hmm. And, but like nobody's out there teaching that stuff. Maybe we need to. John, maybe you need to, buddy.
I will do it. Absolutely. I love talking about money, because it was something that I didn't really learn a lot about. I was homeschooled, and my parents did teach a little bit. Like they taught me how to balance a checkbook, which is very relevant these days.
It's extremely. Man, I've got a checkbook right here. Don't lie.
Hey, okay. Still rocking the checks. It's completely full.
I think it has, is it 100 checks that come in a check? Because this has one all 100.
Perfect.
There you go. Just because I've got a lot of accounts and they still give you the check. You
know. Yeah. But yeah, like I learned that kind of stuff, and I learned like you should be putting away a little bit for savings, but nothing of like strategy or how to make your money work for you. Maybe I'll do that. Maybe that'll be something that I come out with soon. I do love talking about it, and it is definitely something that is not covered a lot, at least not in this industry. It's not.
Man, and I think there's actually a lot of loss in that. I mean, I don't know. Before we pivot here, let's play the game, man. Okay. We've got two podcasters on the call right now, so let's play the game. Give me one. Like, what's your go-to tip on how to make your, as a photographer, specifically to photography, make your money work for you in like a safe way?
Other than the high yield savings account that I talked about earlier, I would say, investing in relationships instead of just like going and buying the new gear or getting all the, you know, fun, shiny things that you see about, or that you're like, ooh, I'm going to get this new lens so that I can do this tutorial or something and throw it up on YouTube and hopefully go viral. But yeah, like investing in relationships and taking money that you might have spent on just things that would like barely improve your business or client experience, and pouring them back into your clients, pouring it back into relationships with other vendors, into just like going and experiencing other places. Like I talk to a lot of people that want to be destination photographers, and like budget to save a little bit and just take a trip and go take some photos. You want to go photograph in California, fly to San Diego. It's usually pretty cheap and it's beautiful.
And see it. Yeah. Dude, that's great advice. Yeah. Let's go.
Okay. Miles, what's your advice?
Okay. I'm going to actually level up, but not one up you, just level up your high yield savings thing, right?
Yes.
Take every deposit check that you get, those down payments, take those and go buy a CD with each one.
Oh,
and now you're pulling like 3%, 3.5% over the course of a year on the deposit, which means that by the time the wedding gets there, you've actually gained money on your packages. Right? Like you've made money. Now, a lot of people want to like live on the deposits, but that's such a dangerous way to live. And if it's just sitting in your account and something happens, you may end up actually spending people's money that you haven't earned yet. Cause that retainer is exactly that. And I don't care how ironclad your contract is. There are reasons why that retainer gets returned.
Yeah.
I've been there. But man, if you can earn, now a CD means that it's locked in, you can't pull it out, but like, most of us could handle, you know, a year at a time, or a lot. You can do CDs. Some days CDs mature in like 90 days.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah. So lower yield, but yeah. But yeah, no, and just like kind of looking and seeing. And for those who don't know what CDs are, this is like through your bank and not like going down to the Barnes and Noble.
Oh, I'm buying a CD. Yes. Sorry. Certificate of deposit.
Roll into your bank. Just go buy a bunch of music.
So for instance, like I take a $2,500 deposit on every wedding, and I don't do this all the time, but I plan to. I mean, our trainings say that we do, but I really love the idea. I love the concept of taking $2,000 from every retainer and going down and investing it.
Yeah.
And the rest covers the sales tax on that retainer. And just like kind of sweetens the pot a little bit. So it's like, you don't feel like you're working for nothing forever. But, then when you get that money back, I mean, maybe you only went up $100, maybe you only went up $150, but like when somebody hands you $100 tip at the end of a day, you're stoked about it. Right. So this is you just tipping yourself. So that I would start there, but then second, like, my day one advice for people outside of like hire an accountant the moment that you can, they're really not that expensive. And because it's a full business write-off, it typically saves you money,
right?
But is just set aside 30% of every dollar, just take 30 cents of every dollar and open an account. That's a high yield savings account that is called taxes. And earn money on your taxes. And at the end of every year, when there is excess money in that, like ideally at the end of the year, you pay your taxes out and there's excess money in that account. Now you have a gear fund.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And you're able to look at it ahead of the next year and say, now there's my expenses. Now I can buy a new camera against my taxes for the next year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's almost like getting those tax return checks. It's just like you're giving yourself a tax return from investing the money that you are already going to need to set aside for taxes, already should be setting aside for taxes. And now it's just making money for you.
Man, I love this. Okay. Dude, I could go down great. This is cool. So hopefully wherever this is going live right now, people are not just like rolling their eyes back in their head. Like I thought this guy was a photographer.
Know we were talking about money. What is going on?
I hate money. Talk to me about gear. Tell me what camera I need.
What are you shooting on right now? But yeah, no, I do really love that we just went down that tangent. One of the things I love tangents. There's always something good about it. You can always find something, which we just
100%
dropped
100%.
Have you ever learned something that you feel like you learned way too late in life? I feel like that guy from Instagram who's like, here's something I didn't know until my 30s, because here is something I didn't know until I was in my 30s. Your savings account can actually make you money. And I'm not talking about like traditional savings accounts that are making you like 0.01 to 0.3% interest, just pennies. That's pennies, people. I'm talking 1.5 to over 4% interest. That doesn't sound like much, but if you're talking numbers, let's say you have like $5,000 in your savings account for taxes at the end of the year, that's the difference between accruing $15 and $200 extra. Now, this is a high yield savings account. I've talked about these a few times on the podcast, but now I have partnered with SoFi to bring you a little extra money. Whenever you start your free high yield savings account through SoFi, they will deposit an extra $25 in there for you for free. That's literally free money. And yes, this high yield savings account is just like a normal savings account where you can access your money. You don't have to like wait for 7 to 10 business days until you can get anything out. It's a normal savings account, except you're making more money. So go to allheartphoto.com/SoFi. That's allheartphoto.com/SOFI and let your money make you money. I know that you're launching the Photographic Collective very soon. And like by the time this hits like Spotify and Apple and everything, it will already be open, which is very exciting. How did this is a membership, a community for photographers. Where'd this idea come from? Like what has spurred creating this?
Man, what a cool question. Okay, so let me back up just long enough before I bore people and kind of give you the actual grassroots answers. So 2017, 18, and 19, pre-pandemic, I was running a fairly large company, fairly large as in staff, especially in the wedding photography world, with like multiple associate photographers, a video team, you know, editors and designers on staff, and we were called the Miles Whit Boyer Photographic Collective. And some of the best memories I think I'll ever have in my career were sitting around a coffee shop table every Monday for our like mandatory Monday meeting where we were just checking in. We'd go over quality control of edits that, you know, together, not with me as like some kind of weird monarch, but like we'd all look together and say like, hey, we like the way our editing is going. We like the way the communication with the clients is going, or like, you know, it was sometimes where I had to slap hands a little bit, but we would do it as a family, right? Yeah. And say like, hey, I'm hearing back from this client, like the communication is poor, all of that stuff. But what I realized in a hurry was that one of the things that this industry is not great at is setting up accountability for each other. We don't build relationships that are mutual. In fact, often they're very transactional.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like a one-time gig, right? It's like, you know, I hire a mentor and then that mentor trains me. And then I've learned what I can learn from them and I move on to the next mentor. And whereas I think there's a lot of value in that, what we realized actually going into the pandemic was that we had created this like cool little family where we all cared about each other and our work was inspired by each other, at least empowered by each other. And there was something really special about that. Now, the downside to it was that it was, like I mentioned, it was the Miles Whit Boyer Photographic Collective, not the Photographic Collective.
Right.
Everything was me. And man, just to be transparent in not wanting to be real self-serving, that always kind of bugged me. One, I didn't want to be these people's dad. I wanted to be their friend and their boss and their, you know, whatever. But two, I didn't want to go through a rebrand and remove my name from my own company because I'm passionate about being an artist, like very passionate about being an artist, much more so than I am about being a business person. And I want my name on my art. Yeah. And so this little virus thing happened and the industry shut down and we had a cool conversation with these people, again, friends of mine, where we were able to tell them all like, hey, one way or another, we're going to get everybody through this. If that means I got to drain savings, if that, whatever this is, we're going to figure our way through this. And man, praise God, we actually didn't end up like going completely broke on that. We had managed our clients and our money really well and everybody stayed afloat. But on the back end of that, the family had changed.
Yeah.
And what had changed was we saw everybody have a little bit of freedom and a little bit of like a glimmer in their eye of like, man, I wish I could go do this without Miles. I just want to know, like, can I swim? And so I always tell everybody, like in the actual stories, I always tell everybody, so we fired everybody. But that's not really true. What we basically did was tell everybody like, hey, you know, if you want out of your contracts, done, tear them up. It's fine. Walk. If you want to be an associate photographer, like a contract photographer, cool. You're hired forever, but go book your own work, like no more non-compete stress. And man, the return on that has been so cool. The video team has just scaled. I worked with Brandon last week, who is so sick talented and his business has exploded and we've been able to be good friends. And you know what? I shot his wedding. And then I see Max every Sunday at church, his business has exploded. And you know what? I shot his wedding. And like they've all just become close friends, but Jared stuck around. And Jared was the guy that looked at me, during all of this. And he said like, hey, I don't want to do this without you. Yeah. And I was like, everybody needs a Jared.
Yeah.
So I'll fast forward. What ended up happening then was over the course of the next several years, we've had several then iterations of how do I give people a behind the curtain look at how to grow their business, how to build their business with some accountability, with some community, with some relationship. And three times now I've done that and I've burned myself out. Mm-hmm. But the reason I burned myself out is because as opposed to like charging too much and giving too little, we have charged often almost nothing and just given, just like poured and poured and poured. At one point we had a Slack channel with all these incredible photographers in it. where we just, man, it was like all I did. I just woke up and I just gave everything away I had, and we never made a dollar on it. And so this time around, we did it right. Yeah. You know, I mean, I kind of listened to my own advice. We built the business plan. We brought on a few people with some experience in this and some vision. And man, August 15th, Lord willing, we end up finally going live with the trainings and the community. And dude, it's going to be cool.
Yeah.
It's going to be exciting.
That is very exciting. That is like a long time in the works for this. And
yeah,
and I love that like you went through like different iterations and different things. Mm-hmm. And like I can tell just from like just from interacting with you, consuming your content over the years, which thank you to Phil Porto for like adding me to your group like 4 years ago or something. Yeah. And he was just like, hey, you need to be in this. I was like, mm-hmm. yes, Phil, whatever you say, I will join.
Whatever you say, buddy.
Yeah. And, which I need to have him back on the show. It has been since like 2020 that he was on here.
He's like traveling the world in an RV, right?
I know.
That guy checked out. What the heck?
I know.
I'm like, man, that guy's story.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to chase a tangent. Coolest story I've ever heard.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But you know, no, that is something that like in the back of my mind, every now and then I'm just like, what if we just pack up and go and just like, just explore the world. And they're doing it. So I get to live vicariously through them. But yeah, like just from being around you, I can tell you are the kind of person that's like selflessly giving and wanting to build up others. And that can be hard a lot of times because we want to give and it's just like, oh yeah, here, I will do this for free. I'm going to help you. And then it's really easy to get burnout from that and just exhausted. And like, yeah. I have seen that in my life because I'm a giver. I just, I love generosity and just boosting others, helping them without any sort of like expected reciprocity or anything. Mm-hmm. It's just, I want you to succeed because I want you to succeed. And yeah, it is something that like you can keep doing for free, but it's not going to be your best because like you need to survive as well. Like you need something.
Yeah, man, I will tell you, I have, kind of famously at this point, I've never burned out as a photographer.
That's great.
600 weddings, 42 states, 14 countries. Dude, I love this job.
Yeah.
I absolutely love this job. I never run out of steam. Sometimes I've had creative highs and lows, but man, I've never felt for a moment as though when I pick up that camera, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I know when we were drafting a lot of this educational stuff, just transparently, Noella helped me write a lot of this stuff and she called me a reluctant educator. And I was like, man, that's so it. And I was trying to think through like, why is that? I'm like, well, because the parts of my career that I have experienced burnout, and I have felt it, but the parts of my career that I've experienced burnout have been from people that want to take, but don't want to give.
Yeah.
And my clients aren't those people. Our couples, man, it's collaborative. They want to create with us. They're so excited that we're there and they've drank the Kool-Aid and it's a big day and we're all in this together, you know? But it has largely been the industry that I have felt has been like, hey, we need more from you. We want more, you know, like, this photographer is doing it at the edge of a, you know, like the edge of a waterfall in Iceland.
Yeah.
Why aren't you in Iceland? And wait, now this photographer is launching the summit and we should be able to get everything for $1.99. Why aren't you in Iceland for $1.99?
Mm-hmm.
And what I've realized over the years is that I allowed myself to get really cynical to the fact that without accountability, there is starvation. And people just, they isolate themselves and they starve for content, and they start to feel as though their work and their perspective and their ideas are all just clouded with their own insecurities. And all of that goes away when you come back to people and you say, hey, it's expensive to get in relationship with people whose time is valuable.
Yeah.
But that relationship has an immediate return, and that return is accountability. And so that's the hope for me this time around, is that, you know, Jared and I are working hard to create content that, that I feel like is relevant, and that can be consumed kind of on people's own time. But I also just, I want to be able to drop into those chats and those live calls and give, but more than that, truthfully, John, more than that, I want to be able to step on stages and sit in podcasts with people that I respect and that I look up to like you, and have more data that I can give more people and say like, hey, this is what I'm seeing in the industry. Like, this is what I'm experiencing, not just as a photographer, but as an educator. And I'm seeing people struggle with these things.
Yeah.
And like, let's all be accountable to those things together, as opposed to like isolating and just like talking crap quietly behind it, you know?
Right. Yeah. I do see that with like some educators who are not, not in the, like they haven't picked up a camera in years, other than to like, you know, do some behind the scenes kind of things, yeah. But like, they're not in the industry anymore. And I mm-hmm. feel like it is difficult, to really know who you're talking to and to know the struggles if you're not there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, no, I love everything that you said about just like that community and the accountability, because like we can feel like we have community by, you know, like I have my people that you know, every time I post something, they're double tapping, they're liking, yep. they're commenting, you know, they're in the DMs and just like, hey, this is so great. Or, you know, cool, you tried a new coffee shop. How was it? Mm-hmm. But like once you go past that initial community into like the accountability part of knowing what each other are going through, knowing what your goals are, and being able to talk about like, hey, where are you in this? Have you started this yet? Is it still in the back burner right now? What do we need to do? We need to do, you want to jump on a Zoom? Like, we can do this, yeah, 30 man, minutes next week.
That's so good.
And like that kind of stuff, that is the deeper part. And I think that so many of us feel like we have community because of the numbers, or because we're in,
yep.
Facebook groups.
The wrong metrics.
Or, yeah. Yeah. We're looking at the wrong metrics.
Man, the, you know, like if most of us were to audit our relationships the way we audit our SEO, right? Like, we have great H1s, right? Like, our header lines are fantastic. Our subtext is fantastic. Mm-hmm. We've got alt tags. We're doing all of the right things, but the actual meat, like the actual article, is really crappy, and there's no backlinks. Like, we're not giving anybody credit for where we're getting our ideas. We're not sharing those things around, and yeah. we're not helping people out. And this is a tough thing. I'll tell you, like, for your listeners, I think the place to start with that is to organize your relationships, like, right off the bat, not just set priorities. I can't remember where I heard this study. And so I'm going to reference this totally incorrectly. So if you've got any like psychologists that listen in, please like write John some hate about this.
If I need to like insert a fact check into this, we can.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah. Fact check this. But I can remember reading a study not long ago, and I want to say this was like prior to the 40s or 50s, the term priorities in plural wasn't, mm-hmm. not only was it not commonly used, it really wasn't recognized as an option. Like, people didn't have priorities.
Yeah.
They had a priority.
Yep.
And somewhere in the, you know, 50s, 60s, I don't know, we decided that multitasking was a thing. But when you try and do that relationally, you really mess up, you kind of muddy the water mm-hmm. in the relationships that matter the most. And so, like, for instance, with this photo co-launch, what we've had to do is create a new stair step in our lives, right? So like, I think a lot of people would see this as a pyramid, but it's not a slope really, but more like stairs, right? So I've got, like, you know, I've got my faith and my family and my marriage and my relationship with my kids. And I'm literally speaking in order here.
Yeah.
And then my art and my clients, and somewhere down in there is your social media presence. So what we've done with PhotoCo is we've created a new stair that exists between my clients and social media.
Yeah.
And that's not me now trying to spread myself more thin and multitask better. It's me literally putting my vanity metrics lower on the totem pole. They are now less important to me because I have people that are actually relying on us to say valuable things. And that double tap, I mean, no offense, everyone, and thank you guys for following, but it means so very little because there's no return on that investment. There's no reciprocation. And when there's no reciprocation, there's no accountability. So like you like my posts and I don't even see it. And does that mean you shouldn't like it? Well, no. I mean, if you like it, you like it. That's fantastic. But I will always say eventually the power to social media is in the social, not in the media.
Yes.
Like it's in the interactions.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There, Devin Robinson, who's like, he was my mentor way back in the day. Now he's not in the photography scene, but
he's a boss.
He is a boss. Yeah. He's killing it in real estate. But he had told me that like back in, I don't know, 2017, 2018 of like the social media part, be social. He was like, I get on and he would say, spend like 20 minutes just going to anyone who liked the last post of yours and just go to theirs and comment and like and talk in their stories. And even if you don't follow them, just like building that connection, or maybe go follow them. And like just building that giving back when they've just double tapped. And then you go in and you leave three comments, like more than just like, oh, this is amazing. Way to go. Good job. But like meaningful comments on things like that starts building community, and that starts building that reciprocity of your relationship. And it's less one-sided, which helped me a ton to like find friends and to even find clients that were liking stuff that just like popped up on their explore page or something. And then I came back and was just like, hey, what kind of dog is that? Your dog is so cute. And then we hit it off after that.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I love the stair step idea. Because a lot of times once, you know, we're not even looking at stuff like that. We just know that we have priorities, and we know that we have different things, but we're not looking at how much time we're actually spending on which ones. And if you really were honest and looked at like, oh, maybe the ones that should be like that are up at the top of the totem pole, they're getting neglected, or they're, you know, the ones at the bottom you're spending all your time on because you're either trying to grow social media or someone else in your circle is just killing it on there. And you're like, I want to do what they're doing. So I'm going to spend all of my time on this. And I know I get like hyper fixated on certain things. And then I'm just like, all of my time and energy is going to this thing. I just want to grow it. But like having that visual of, oh yeah, my faith is up at the top. When is the last time that I like spent time just sitting and reading? Yep. Or just, you know, spending some time in prayer, you know, was that this week? Was it this month? Mm-hmm. Like, is that actually my priority? Is that the top of the totem pole, or do I just think that it is and I need to actually get it back up there?
Yeah, man, that's great advice. I probably needed to hear that today too, man.
Me too. I was speaking to myself.
I just think there's so much value in us taking accountability for our lives and saying like, let's throw this back out. And you guys, listeners, and you know, if you listen live or you're or you listen to the recording later, I'm like, I'd love to hear a reaction to this, truth be told. But I've heard it said a few times specific to prayer. So I'll start with that, but then I'm going to kind of like evolve it into something that I think is probably very relevant for us at an industry level. But I've heard people say a few times, like, if every single prayer that you prayed in the last 24 hours came true, would the world change? Mm-hmm. Or would it just be your life change? Right. And so I'll adapt that for the industry and essentially say, you know, if every relationship that you have poured into in the last 24 hours became truly healthy, how many people would that be? Mm. And I think for most of us, like, you know, pouring in is such a vague term, but most of us assume that, you know, a double tap or like an emoji comment or something like that is an investment back in a relationship. And yet at the same time, like, that's not the relationship that we want people to have with us.
Yeah.
I know we're also familiar with this phrase, but I heard Chris Evans on a podcast the other day say something like your net worth is your network.
Yeah.
And I immediately wrote him right after that to give him crap about the fact that he was wearing two watches when he said that. and I love you, Chris. But dude, you literally are wearing two watches. But
different time zones. I gotta know what's going on.
Yeah, maybe that's it. No, one's an Apple Watch and one's a Rolex, right? He's like, one's for health and one's for wealth. I'm like, ah, shut up. You have something.
He's
back
got a
for
line
everything, Chris.
For everything.
but like, here's my genuine reply to that stuff is, I actually think he's very, very close to right. And I'm not going to argue with him, but I think that, that there's something more important than net worth. Mm-hmm. I would, instead of saying like your net worth is your network, I would say like your network is more important than your net worth. Yeah. The people that care about you at a core level, the people that have a vested interest in watching you succeed, watch you chasing your dreams, you know, supporting your marriage and your family, they want to see you do big things. Those are the people that are going to power you through struggles. Mm-hmm. And in order to grow that, it takes intentionality. I mean, it's this is not an easy thing for any of us. I mean, we are all spread very thin, right? It's like, when do I pay my taxes? When do I reply to my emails? And then I know we also all of us get that, that like, you know, deer in the headlights look, right? Where it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for a new wedding inquiry to come in. And then I got three in last night and I'll reply to them later.
Yeah.
You know? And I think we can all, that's the thing is like, we just all need to start to say this stuff out loud. We all chase those same struggles. Like all of us, this isn't a, like, what's your Enneagram number, or, you know, like, are you an alpha, or are you like a single mom, or what? All of that is just, it's bull crap. The reality is, like, as creatives, we wake up every day a little bit different version of ourselves from yesterday. And that's okay. Without people in our lives that expect big things out of us, the best we'll ever get is like a muted version of who we were yesterday, as opposed to, you know, like that version amplified.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anyone who's ever gone through a struggle, you know, like health struggles or monetary struggles, the people around you who showed up, who were just like, hey, can I make a meal train for you? Like, let's put something together so that people can bring over food and you don't have to worry about that. It doesn't have to be one more thing. You just focus on, you know, whoever is sick or whatever, or you're recovering, or, you know, these things, or, you know, you're going through some stuff right now. Okay, what can I do? You want to do, you know, if you do some mini sessions, I will put it out there into my network and I will share. And yeah, like, those people are life. Like, they are the ones that it makes life worth living, because they're there, and they're not just there to be like, I'm doing this for you, so remember, mm-hmm, next time, yeah, you can show up for me. But the odds are you probably will show up for them also.
Yep. That stuff doesn't work. I mean, I, like, you know, you guys that are, you know, people, I guarantee somebody is listening right now and on their desk, they have a post-it note that says like, you know, referrals, ? And it's like, you know, oh, maybe I'll get more business if I tell people that I'll give them 10% or, mm-hmm. you know, I'll give you a $50 Starbucks gift card for every bride that you send me. Or like the thing is, if you have to incentivize somebody to have a relationship with you, it's not a relationship.
Yeah. It's a transaction.
Yeah. And that's how I know that is after 15 years of marriage, I pull the short straw in this relationship often. My wife is perpetually like managing her own very successful career and the kids and cooking and how is the house always spotless? I don't even understand how it, I just genuinely don't get it. I walk through it. I'm like, how are the walls not falling down? And my kids are very skinny, but they are fed. And listen, things get done by the people that love you for you, and you don't even notice it. And maybe the thing that we can do most is to be more of that for more people. I hadn't planned on telling anybody this, but I had kind of I had a huge opportunity, one of the largest opportunities in my career, especially as an educator, show up in my inbox last week. And I can't say what it is yet, and I hate being that guy, but mm-hmm. But it's a big opportunity. It's the largest stage you could sit on. And immediately I wrote Jared and said, like, imposter syndrome at 1,000.
Right.
You know, yeah. Like, help me, help me, help me. And he said, well, how much, you know, first thing, you got this. You were made for this. You feel called for this. Let's go. But secondly, like, how much is allocated for it? Is there budget? Can I come? You know, like, I want to support you in this, right? And I said, well, let me see if typically in those situations, I try and find a revenue stream for Jared to be there. You know, like, hey, well, you can shoot some BTS or some content, or you can help me teach her.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And he replied back, let me get to the end of this too long a story. He replied back with, dude, I will carry your armor anywhere. And I was like, find a bro. Mm-hmm. Find a bro that isn't saying, I will wear armor next to you.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say that. He said, I will carry your armor anywhere. I'll show up for you where you need me to. Yeah. And I was like, dang, suddenly all of that imposter syndrome goes away, because the reality is, like, I need people in this industry to find people like Jared.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me a lot of years of being alone and trying to figure this out and convincing clients that I could shoot things by myself that I shouldn't have. And, you know, like, it took a lot of years of that before I found somebody that was willing to step up and say, like, I'll carry your armor for you. And now, dude, I'm stepping on a pretty big stage in March. Yeah. And I'm going to have my best friend there holding the trash can that I'm throwing up in right before I go out there.
Right behind the curtain. Just, you got this. You got it.
Yep. Yeah. You got it, man. Hey, you got a little something on your cheek.
Uh-huh. It's fine. Yep.
So.
Man. Yeah. We all need a Jared. Shout out Jared.
Come on. At Jared Mark Fincher on Instagram.
Yeah.
You guys go love on him. Please DM him and tell him he's bald and still beautiful.
But yeah, like, we, to what you're saying earlier, like, we're not going to find our Jareds if we're just in community. If we're not if we're not being accountable to others and having people show up, holding us accountable and being vulnerable with other people, you're not going to find your people who are going to carry your armor, and you're not going to find people that you can carry armor for. And I have loved this so much. This has been so good. I cannot believe it's already 45 minutes. This is insane.
Did you haven't asked me a single question that was on my pre-shoot questionnaire?
Yeah.
I feel like we have scammed people. No. You don't want to find out if I picked up a camera at 6 years old and knew immediately. Oh, okay.
No. I know that you just started this like 2 years ago. It's cool.
Yeah, I'm very young.
Yeah. No, I love it. This was so good. I love that this was not really the topic we were going to talk about. But that is what I love about this, just kind of chilling, talking, our tangents turned into topics. So thanks for going down that with me. Before we wrap up, there's part of the show that I like to do where we talk about what we're loving this week. Can literally be anything, new book, TV show, movie, whatever. What are you loving this week?
Man, I mentioned this. I don't know if this, I think this is right before we clicked record, but
I think so.
I got a pretty unexpected visit from my parents this week. Man, that's special. They're in the other room. They might actually be listening to me talk for all I know.
I think they've walked past the door a couple of times.
And have they?
Like, I bet that's awesome.
I'm loving that. We've got, the last 2 weeks of summer vacation and soccer is back and 6 a.m. cross country training is back and, life is picking up in a hurry, and to have my parents sort of roll in and be a part of that for a few days is pretty special. So yeah. Man, that's where I'm going to go with it.
That's awesome. That is also what I'm loving this week. Which is really funny. When you said that they were in town, I was like, I wonder if that's going to be what he's loving too. Mm-hmm. So I just, spent this past weekend, at my parents' house. My brother and I both came in and stayed in their house. I slept on a little twin size trundle pull out bed.
Come on.
And I was like, I remember sleeping on this when I was 12. This is like going back, and it's not the same house.
Probably
the same pillow. I did bring mine from home because I am that person that I'm like, I'm traveling with my pillow. But yeah, we went in for the whole weekend, came in Friday, left on Sunday after church. And it was really great just having the OG four of us together.
Yeah, that's cool.
And we were talking about it during dinner that first night. We were like, when was the last time that just the four of us? Because I think, let's see, my brother's been married for 16 years. So we were like, I think it's pushing 20 years that it was just the four of us. No wives, no kids. And we had a great time. Just we took the boat out and went fishing. We didn't really catch anything worth keeping. I caught a shark. Mm-hmm. And that was cool.
Nice. Okay.
And then we raced a storm that was 4 hours earlier than predicted. And it was just insane. And my parents were worried and also laughing. And we were just having the best time getting soaked with this rain and trying to get the boat tied off so we can go inside in this restaurant. And it was just a really great weekend spending time with family. And we don't get a lot of that.
That's
like
so good.
One-on-one time with the parents, because we always have the grandkids around. Mm-hmm. And there's always like bathroom breaks and snacks and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to just like sit down and like play card games and stuff.
I love that, man. That's really special. You know what? I think is so important for people to hear, John, and your people, they need this, man. Like, people need to hear that the educators that they look up to have real lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just regular person lives.
Yeah.
I think that's huge. I mean, I've had so many conversations over the years with the names that we all know, you know, like the Ben Chaiches and the Jonas Petersons and the Jai Longs and, you know, like eventually those people all just go back to their regular life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they eat a hamburger, they drink a beer,
yep,
and they miss their kids. And, man, that stuff is good. And I think the more we can kind of like get rid of this dumb hustle and grind mentality that has taken over our industry and just remind people like, man, just build a life you're proud of.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the good stuff right there. So.
That is the good stuff. I was at a conference last year in Fair where Eastie was speaking, and I had to drive him somewhere. So I was like, we were just driving together and
what a flex, by the way. Hold on.
Yeah.
I had to drive him.
I got somewhere to drive Fair's car. And he had a Olivia Rodrigo CD and like guts just started playing, and I was like, oh, fair, you like Olivia? And he was like, oh, this is my daughter's, but yes, I'm
never gonna let him live that down ever. I'm sending him a meme as soon, a gif as soon as we get off this call. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was so cool to just like see that, like, oh yeah, you've got a teenage daughter and mm-hmm. she's into Olivia Rodrigo, and like you listen to it too. And that's mm-hmm. like, you're a dad, and you're not just this amazing photographer, and not just that, but he's also mm-hmm. a dad, also a husband, and like getting that little glimpse into his life was like really cool, and really like, okay, yeah, you're just like me. This is, it also kind of takes away that imposter syndrome of like, why am I at this conference too? Mm-hmm. with Fair. But no, it's very cool to, I think that is what we need, to see that everyone else is also just, we're just people.
We're just fighting it. And kind of leaning in one step at a time. So dude, thank you so much for the opportunity to chat on here. I'm so excited. And I don't say that in like a Gen Z tongue clicky way. I am truly filled with anticipation and joy for what comes out of this photo co-launch and then the new relationships that show up and people that we're able to bring in and help educate, because I don't want to be the only voice. I don't even want to be the loudest voice. I want to expose people to like thought leaders like you, John, and just say like, hey, if you want like great advice, there are so many people out there that will give it for free. You just have to have the patience to wait for it on their time mm-hmm. and the ability to ask the right questions. I'm here for it. And, man, I can't wait to hear this episode launch. I hope that people don't just immediately sign off and say like, I thought this guy was supposed to be a photographer. So.
Yeah, no, this is going to be so good. I mean, I'm going to listen back to it myself. But yeah, well, Miles, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Thank you for bringing some more wit, to the Wit Pod.
That's it.
This was so good. I really appreciate it.
Man, again soon. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Wisdom and the Tangents podcast. As always, you can check out all the things in the show notes at podcast.allheartphoto.com. I've got links for you to go follow and connect with Miles, to join the Photo Co, to check out his podcast, The Photographic Collective. And just connect with us on Instagram, send us DMs. Like Miles said, he replies to all the DMs, and I do as well. I love chatting it up over on Instagram. So let us know what you thought about the show. Share it with a friend that you would love to be in community with, or maybe that you already are, and they would just really enjoy this episode. Until next week, keep creating. And oh no, I forgot it. I said I was going to remember this time. It was going to be so smooth. And I got in my head. Until next time, keep creating and making the world a better place. Bye, y'all. I'm going to work on this. I will do my practices in the mirror before next week's episode. I promise. Bye.